Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You're not getting married, and that's it, and that's final.
What you smoke, what you sniff, what you swallow, it's all my business.
My parents are always there for me.
I don't need another friend. I need a parent.
We're the future of America, so be a little patient with us.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, recent statistics indicate that one out of every five kids today has a weight problem. In fact, some experts estimate that nearly 30% of all kids between the ages of 6 and 10 are obese. Well, that makes me wonder how we got into this mess in the first place. Well, parents, if we're really honest with ourselves, we'll admit that we are the ones who set the tone for healthy eating habits at home. It's up to us to help our kids learn to make right and wise decisions when it comes to how to keep their weight under control. Well, during the next half hour, my good friend Steve Arterburn of the New Life Live radio program will discuss with me the topic, coping with childhood obesity. So keep it right here. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, Jim's co-host. It's good to have you along for part two of one of our classic archive programs. You're going to hear the first installment of part two of Jim's conversation with Steve Arterburn talking about feeding your kids' desires. We're going to talk about obesity and overweight kids, but also how sometimes an out-of-control appetite for other things can lead to unhealthy behavior as well. You know, Homeward is here because you have a healthy appetite for knowledge when it comes to parenting and family issues, and we are grateful for your prayers and financial support. Remember, you can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. And now, here's Jim.
Steve Arterburn is with us today, a very good friend. He's the founder, chairman of New Life Ministries, host of the nationally syndicated radio show New Life Live. He's also the founder of Women of Faith Conferences, the author of more than 40 books, including major bestsellers. Every Man's Battle is in every bookstore, it seems like, in America, and I saw it actually in England not too long ago. Four books in the top 20 bestsellers, major influence in the Christian world. Steve, thank you for joining us again here on Homeward.
Thanks, Jim. Always great to be with you. And if there's anybody that's influenced this culture, it's you. And now you're doing it in a bigger way. And it's great to see the things happening in your life with Homeward and to see the response. I hear people talking about this program and how much they enjoy this show. And I think you and your team are just doing a great job. Well, so congratulations.
Well,
on
thank
that.
You. And I appreciate it. You know, I was in Houston this last week, and it's just dawning on me that there's a lot of people who listen to our program every day as they would listen to yours every day. And I had people standing in line Sunday night saying, you know, thanks so much. And they're talking to me about various programs. And I'm thinking, my heavens, we're not just talking to a microphone, but there are really some people whose hearts are being changed and lives are being touched, and that's why we're doing Homeward.
Well, as you know, I'm a big advocate of radio, and there's something about radio, and this is why I hope people will support your ministry, because many people, a lot of folks don't ever think about this, they would never go to a church, they would never admit that they even care about spiritual things, maybe they would never go into a Christian bookstore and buy a Christian book, but in the privacy of their car, they will listen to Jim Burns talk about things that matter to people who have a home, whether you're a single parent or you're a married parent or you're just out there on your own, you have a home. And you're trying to bring the word to their home, and you'll do it in the intimate time of them being alone in their car. And that's why I hope people will support you so you can continue to do this, because I know as well as you know, if you don't get support, you're not going to be around to do
well,
this much longer.
I appreciate that, and thank you, and we won't pass the hat, but I do appreciate you saying that. And, you know, we have some already, and the program is quite new, and we have some very faithful prayers and some faithful donors, and we appreciate that. But today, we're going to talk about a very important subject, and it's the whole idea of obesity. But I want to focus a little bit on childhood obesity. In recent weeks, I've been reading more and more about the fact that kids are just getting more obese, and it's widespread like crazy. How widespread do you see it?
I see it as one of the major problems of our day, and you've actually got more fat kids than non-fat kids. And the sad thing is, you know, you never get it back. You don't undo the damage. Every time you create a fat cell, that fat cell never goes away, and so that child is much more susceptible to it. And all the studies show that kids that are more obese in their younger years have a more difficult time with it all of their lives. And, you know, kids learn this from their parents. It's not just an accident. You know, there may be some bizarre fluke time that where an obese child is obese because of a blood disorder or a hormonal problem, something like that, a malfunction of an organ. But most of the time, it is the parents' fault. I hate to lay the guilt trip on you, but you got to say it that way. It's the parents' fault because they haven't modeled the behavior for the child, and they haven't molded the behavior for the child. You have to do both if you're going to have a child with the normal weight.
Now, Steve, you and I have been friends for a long, long time, and we have talked about this. In fact, you showed me pictures when you were a bit younger. You were a little bit chunky. Now, today, you're not. You know, whenever I'm around you, I have to kind of suck in my gut, and you know, I want to go work out because you're in great shape and you eat well. Something happened. When you were younger, you were chubby, but there was a kind of a transition for you. What was that process?
Well, you know, I always bought the husky gene size. I hated that. It was always an embarrassment to me. Summer, I was tyrannized. You know, summer was coming, and I was going to be in a swimsuit, and I was chubby, and it was embarrassing. And, you know, I remember being in college my junior year, and I had this thought. And there are these little thoughts we have that lead to decisions that change our lives. And the thought was, you will never be a senior again. You will never be a senior in college. You've got one shot at a senior year. I didn't know that I'd fail and redo it. No. That thought led me to say, how are you going to go through your senior year? Is it going to be with 20 or 30 and 60 extra pounds?
So with that thought in mind, that's what caused you to, that was a catalyst that caused you to make some decisions.
So I had been on diets before. I had done the quick weight loss for a picture or to be in a wedding or something like that. And it was with that thought that I wanted to do it, and I wanted to be different. I lost 30 pounds. I lost an additional 30 pounds later, which was actually really healthy to come down and kind of live at a certain level and then go down again. But it led to me starting to exercise for the first time, lift weights, swim, and eat in a different way. And I went through my senior year, and I wasn't heavy. And I just continued to lose the weight and keep the weight off, and have still done that to this day. There are certain life-changing, eye-popping moments that can really change our lives. But if they don't lead to a decision, then it doesn't matter how spectacular they were. And my decision was, I'm not going to be this way my senior year of college.
And at New Life Ministries, you're still teaching that because you have a Lose It for Life program. Tell us a little bit about that program.
Well, twice a year, we bring people together, and we spend 5 days. And we bring in clinicians and help them deal with some of the issues that maybe are fueling their eating problem. One lady said, at this institute, I took the issues with my mother out of my stomach, put them on the table, and for the first time dealt with them.
So what you're saying is there's psychological and emotional reasons just as well.
And spiritual reasons. When you resolve those, then some of the appetite is resolved. And then when you combine that with good nutrition and eating properly and exercise and resolving conflicts between you and other people in your relationships, you find that weight can be under control.
You know, more and more kids today are stressed. Do you find that stress is a major cause for people then to become overweight or not take care of their body?
Especially the combination of they're stressed and disconnected. And when you're stressed and disconnected, when you don't have anyone to comfort you in the midst of this high anxiety world that we live in, well, then you find your source of comfort. And of course, a lot of kids find that in food.
I'm calling it the overcommitted, underconnected generation right now, these kids and the adults. They're just overcommitted. They're living a incredibly breathless pace of living. And yet it's hard because today they're just, there's so much into fast food. What do you say to a busy mom who has, three or four kids running around, and, she doesn't have time to make that meal all the time. So she's tending to go the easy route and, take them by McDonald's and, get the big gulps and things like that. What do you say to that, Mom?
I say, read Proverbs 23, where it says, "The glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe him with rags." That is the prophecy for your fat child. And so, Mom, you need to change that. What do you need to do to change that? You need to teach the child to eat. You need to teach them delayed gratification. And you need to teach them to move. Any parent that allows a child to go through life and not move for an hour, at least movement for an hour once a day, in some kind of fun activity or exercise or something, is really making a huge mistake. You're setting a pattern for a lifestyle that is going to guarantee, in of course many cases, early diabetes, but other weight-related problems, embarrassment, humiliation, low self-esteem, it's right there. But you can change that by changing the way they eat and putting them in some kind of activity that forces them to move around.
So really, it's up to the parents to make these wise decisions early on. So would you say that a parent should keep cookies out of the cupboard or should not give kids sugar, things like that too?
Not all parents, because many kids have the ability to go to the cupboard, eat three Oreos, and put the rest back. But when you buy a bag of Oreos and they're gone, and I haven't been at your house, then you need to know that one of those kids ate all those Oreos. And you need to do something about that. And you need to limit their intake or not have Oreos. They abuse the food. And if they abuse food or anything that they abuse, they don't have the privilege to eat it is the principle to use with that particular food.
Well, we really appreciate Steve Arterburn's insight here on the Homeward broadcast today, because as he's telling parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, these issues with food are things that he struggled with personally. And we'll hear the conclusion of Jim's conversation with Steve on the other side of this break as we talk about feeding your kids' desires. Speaking of unhealthy behavior, another area where kids struggle with this is money, because too often we as parents don't necessarily do a good job of teaching our kids about stewardship. The Bible has a lot to say about stewardship, and our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, have partnered with us to create a couple of new tip sheets that you can use as a parent to teach your kids about saving and spending and investing and tithing even. Go to homeward.com, keyword steadfast, hit the articles and media section, and it'll take you right to two tip sheets that are there waiting for you, and they're free to read, and you can take advantage of them now. Homeward.com, keyword steadfast, that's steadfast. More to come. Do stay with us.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I mean, I know I blew it, but then I had to hear about it from Mom.
Oh, that's always fun. Besides, you never know when nice Mom or mean Mom is going to show up.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's bad enough that I got in trouble, but I'd rather be, like, grounded for another week just so I didn't have to sit through another one of her lectures.
If you're a parent, you may not feel as though what you say to your children has much impact on them. Well, believe me, it does. When a child messes up, she's already going to be feeling a little down, so make sure she knows that it's what she did that upset you and that you're not rejecting her in the process. After all, we're trying to correct behavior without crushing character here. So choose wisely the words you use when interacting with your kids. The kind of relationship they have with you will determine the way they interact with everyone else they meet in this life. For a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Ways to Correct Behavior Without Crushing Character, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Steve Arterburn is with us today. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. We're talking about feeding your appetites. Take control of what's controlling you. Specifically today, out of this book, we're talking about food and obesity. It's not just food, it's exercise. And earlier in the discussion, Steve, you talked about the spiritual side to this. How do we teach our kids to take care of their bodies as also as a spiritual temple of the Holy Spirit type of thing? How do you do that?
Well, you know, I love over in Romans 16, 17 and 18, it says, "Now I urge you to keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such people like these are not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but are slaves of their own appetites." The worst thing you could do is to create a slave of his own appetite as a parent. So what you want to do is use a problem with eating or appetite as a point of connection. You know, a lot of times we yell at kids and we try to correct them and try to teach them. Really what we ought to be doing is connecting. Honey, why is it that you think you're eating so much? Is there something going on inside of you? Let's just talk about what it feels like to be anxious and uneasy, and do you feel that way when you eat? What is going on there? Because sometimes you find a child's an anxious eater. Sometimes if you connect with the child and talk, you find you've got a depressed eater, that they're really sad, and they don't feel like they measure up to the other kids, and they're struggling in school and being accepted. And so they're actually feeding their appetite and also fueling the disconnection between other kids. Sometimes you have a lazy eater. Your child isn't depressed and not particularly anxious either. They just don't have anything better to do than to eat. And they lay there in front of the television. And one of the best things you can do for a child is to limit the amount of, I used to say, limit the amount of TV you allow them to watch. But really, a better way of saying it is to limit the amount of electronic media that they use.
Oh, right. This is the first year that computers actually, now kids are in front of a computer more than they are in a television.
Yeah.
This is the number one year. This is it.
Pretty soon, computers are going to be all voice activated. You won't even have to use your fingers, so you can snack more. And it's just going to get worse unless you set some limits on that. And, you know, you really have to push your kids outside or get them involved in some kind of league sports, some kind of hobby that gets them in situations where there's something to do other than eat. But I want to tell you, there's one other kind of eater. You know, there's the bored eater, the anxious eater, the depressed eater. Then there's the stupid eater. And, Jim, this is what I was. I was the stupid eater. I did not know. This is what we had at our homes. We had five-pound cans of potato chips, waffle potato chips. Fantastic. I came out here to California, and they had little two-pound cans. We had five-pound cans. They were amazing.
Those are Texas.
I would sit in front of the TV with that big can. I could eat a half can.
Yeah.
And there is no way you could eat that much salt, grease, and fat and potato that turned to sugar in your system without becoming a fat kid. So I just didn't know. And I'm around adults all the time that really they're not sad. They're not anxious. They just are eating in a way that they have no idea what's causing them. You know, you'll see them skip breakfast and have a little salad for lunch, and they just think that's so healthy. But really what it's doing is telling their body, we're going to die, we're starving, we'll never have another food to eat, and the metabolism slows down. And so everything they eat after that, it's like double calorie because their body's trying to convert it to fat as quickly as they can to save up for winter because they think they're going to die. So, you know, they just don't get it, that you've got to start off and you got to get your metabolism up through eating, and you eat a little bit of protein there for breakfast and keep your blood sugar stable by eating about every 2 hours. And you can educate yourself to be a better eater, and you can educate your children to do that. And you educate them, of course, best by showing the best example.
Really, what parents have to, children see, children do. So if a parent is making wise decisions, then the kids are going to make those decisions.
Hopefully,
as well.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the idea of learning how to diet, if you would, I always hear it's a lifestyle, it's not necessarily a diet, but what do you think about South Beach diet, Atkins diet, the various kinds of diets that are out there today?
I have the North Pole diet. It's a little bit different than South Beach, but essentially it's don't eat anything white like the snow on the North Pole. Salt, sugar, flour, potatoes, things like that, icing, white icing. But Jim, any of those things is okay as part of an overall plan, but the most effective diets are effective for a while. And when I lost weight, it was essentially on a modified Atkins diet. I lost weight faster. I gained it back faster. And so if you're just dieting, you're going to come up short. Mm-hmm. You have to change some of these things within yourself and change your connection ratio with other people, and then the diet can actually work for you long term. So any one thing that you do might be okay and not destructive, but it's not enough if you want to keep the weight off.
That's great advice. Talking with Steve Arterburn, Feeding Your Appetites, Taking Control of What's Controlling You, specifically today talking about food. You know, Steve, you're a very active guy. I've been traveling with you, and I've seen you go out, work out when, you know, I'd like to be still staying in bed. You're quite involved in the life of your wonderful daughter, Madeline. Talk for just a moment about ways parents can encourage their kids to get involved in activities that are fun, but also kind of keep that heart rate up and push them into it. What if they're not as good of athletes as, say, Madeline?
Okay. Minimal thing is everybody eats dinner together, and they go for a walk after dinner. Before any television or anything gets turned on, parents got to lead the way.
You know, that would change the family life.
Oh, it would. You're walking, you're experiencing nature, right. You know, all that. You're talking about dogs and all the things that you talk about when you walk through the neighborhood. So at a minimum, do that. Secondly, pick a family sport that everybody can do. Tennis is a great one. You can get three people on each side and do pretty well. Maybe it's volleyball. Okay, so maybe all your family can do is croquet. Well, do that. You're standing up, walking around, and you're connecting with each other, and you're not watching television. But one of the best things you can do is to get involved in jogging with your kids early on. Teach them to be joggers. It's an exercise everybody can do from wherever they are, or most everybody can do. And so I encourage, you know, a running family is just such a great gift to help them do that. But also, if they have any kind of support, I know of a mother whose daughter wanted to play volleyball, but she didn't want to drive the child to the school at 6:30 in the morning, so wouldn't let her play. Hey, come on, make the sacrifice for your kid if possible at all, so they get involved in a sport that really they could take with them for the rest of their life and make them feel good about themselves and increase their social skills as they connect with the others on that team.
That's good advice, Steve Arterburn. We're talking with Stephen Arterburn. What kind of practical advice would you give if they really are saying, you know what, this has motivated me to make a decision and I want to make a decision now?
Well, I think that any time you can sacrifice your source of comfort for the future of your children, you have done a great thing for the kingdom of God. And when a child sees a parent who's used to eating pretty much anything and out of control and overweight and just saying, oh, it's okay, when they see that parent say, you know what, I'm going to make this change because I want to do it for you. I want you to see that I can sacrifice because I want to set the example. And I want to show you that anytime you confront a problem, that you can find the resources to change. It really makes an impact. And that mother who's struggling with that weight problem, there are resources for you. There are internet. I mean, we've got an internet community at loseitforlife.com. We've got workshops, Lose It for Life Institute. There are support groups in your area. There are books that you can read. You can work on this, but you've got to be willing to kind of overcome a stubbornness that keeps us heavy. And when you give up this stubborn resistance, and I talk about it every Lose It for Life Institute, when you give up that stubborn resistance, you open the door for healing and you open the door for long-term weight loss. But you keep that stubborn resistance there and you're probably not going to keep it off. But give it up and you can show your children a path to healing in the area of weight.
Well, that's a great piece of advice, and it's important for us to make the first decision, and then our children will follow us, I think, in so many ways. Steve, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Jim.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker Steve Arterburn here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about feeding your kids' desires, and this is a theme that we hear from a lot of parents who have this issue. As a matter of fact, one out of every four teenagers in America right now can be classified or categorized as obese, overweight, or morbidly obese. So this is an issue that we know where our parents are dealing with their kids, and that's why we're so grateful to have this resource here, this audio presentation, to share with you as well. And we're always streaming audio at homeward.com. We're also podcasting through iTunes, and if you'd like more information on how to start that free subscription, go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button, and follow the prompts. You can podcast with us every day.
According to the National Center for Health Statistics, food issues for children are becoming more and more of a problem. About 30% of all kids in those critical years right before puberty are overweight, and there's something we as their parents can do to reverse that trend. That's why I'm so glad to have had Steve Arterburn here on the program with me today here on Homeward. I want to leave you with three quick tips for helping an overweight child. First tip, exercise works. So make sure you're making it possible for your kids to be active for at least an hour a day. Second tip, make sure that your kids get regular physical exams. Third tip for helping an overweight child, make good nutrition an all-family strategy. Role modeling is important for kids because children see, children do is the principle here. Okay, now those are the tips for helping an overweight child. And there are others, of course, and I've compiled a list of 11 of them, in fact, and I want you to have a copy of that complete set. You can download a free copy of my tip sheet called Tips for Helping an Overweight Child, and then you can use it as a ready reference for providing guidance, not just for the weight-challenged member of your family, but for everyone at home.
Well, it certainly is an issue that affects the entire family, and that's why you want to go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section of our website, and then type in that keyword, overweight children, and you'll find the tip sheet, tips for helping an overweight child. And that's absolutely free when you go to homeward.com. And thank you for remembering that Homeward is on the air and online and doing seminars and writing curriculum because of your prayers and also your faithful financial support. If you can include a gift of $50 or $100 or more, even $1,000 or more, if the Lord is leading you to partner with us that way financially, we would love to hear from you. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com, as many people do, or you can also write to us. We still take checks through the mail. You can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go, the zip code 92693, and please know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.